You're listening to the Recipe for Radiance podcast. I'm your host, Morgan Taddeo, and I'm so excited to provide you with a space where you get the nourishment to create a life that feels radiant and meaningful to you. Recipe for Radiance is where we celebrate individual journeys, honor our inner wisdom, and cultivate a supportive environment for growth and transformation. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Recipe for Radiance podcast. We are on episode number 2. If you haven't listened to episode number 1 yet, it's where I dive into my personal wellness journey, and I really peel back the first layer of what my life kind of looked like leading up to today, what my wellness journey entailed. And it was my first step in getting really vulnerable with you guys, which I'm going to be so honest, was incredibly scary for me. Vulnerability is something that I am working on in this present day. I think for so many years, I tried to protect my image and kind of hide my uglies by showing up in the world. Everything is okay. Everything is fine and dandy. When on the inside, you know, I might be experiencing challenges and barriers and all of the human emotions that make us who we are. I want to start out by sharing, I went home this past weekend. So that podcast launched on August 1st, and then I went home that following Friday to my hometown, and I got to see my mom. We sat down and we were just chit-chatting. And she was like, so I listened to the first episode. I'm so proud of you and all of the good things. And then she was like, but I'm going to give you some feedback. And this is coming from like a place of love. I was like, oh gosh, okay. And she was like, I want you to be more vulnerable. Essentially told me that vulnerability could be my superpower. And that when she was going through her own transformative journey, which we will dive into on this episode, just hang tight, it was really essential for her to find people in her friend group, on podcasts, on social media, who she could genuinely relate to, people who were not scared to be vulnerable and share every element of what their journey looks like. Because if you think about it, we're all human beings, and unfortunately, a lot of us keep up over social media. What do we know about social media? It's a highlight reel, so we're not always seeing all of the in-between moments. I know personally, I do a really great job of just sharing a highlight reel. It is incredibly challenging for me to show parts of myself that struggle. It's hard for me to share, you know, my internal battles, and I think that's because I grew up wanting to, you know, protect my image, protect my family's image. I feared rejection. I feared not being understood. I think for so many years of my life, and even in present day, as I'm working through my own healing journey and just becoming the best version of myself, there's still this part of me who gets scared about what other people might think of me when I am genuinely showing up as my true authentic self. I want to be understood. I want people to see me to my core and know my values and my heart. So I think listening to that first episode back and just hearing my mom's input, while, you know, I did open up and peel back that first layer, moving forward, I could really dive in a lot deeper with you guys, and I'm really excited to do that. I want you to know, if you're along for this journey, that I am an imperfect being. I am learning and growing every single day. I make mistakes. I fall down. I get back up. I'm just a regular human out here doing my best. If you're on a similar journey, I love that you're here so, so much. We're kind of in this together. It's not a scary place to be. It's an exciting place to be, because you have to move through to get through. So we have to feel our emotions, no matter how heavy they are, no matter how high and good they are. We have to feel to heal, and we've got to move through. So as I mentioned, I got to go home this weekend. I got to spend some time with my mom, have some one-on-one time without my siblings. Let me preface, I love my siblings so much, but there's something about just getting one-on-one time with your parents when you can just chill and talk and catch up. I am the firstborn, so I genuinely feel as if I grew up with my parents. My parents had me in their early 20s. They actually separated when I was 3 or 4. I genuinely don't remember how old I was. And it's really neat now to be able to sit down and have adult conversations with them and to just be seen and understood by one another. So my mom and I decided, let's have a little girls' night together. We're going to put on our comfy cozies. We're going to get on the couch and we're going to pick up some mics and we're just going to talk like we're having a conversation with each other and we're going to record it. My mom was a little bit nervous at first. She was like, oh gosh, I don't know how I'm going to feel with the mic. And let me tell you, literally 2 minutes in, this woman was picking up the microphone and you would have thought she had her own talk show. She was giving major Oprah energy and I loved every second of it. We get really raw and real. She opens up about her own personal development journey and coming back home to herself at almost 50 years old. She started on her journey about 2.5 years ago. These journeys of self-development, healing, wellness, whatever we want to call them, they never stop and it is never too late to start. So it has been so incredibly inspiring to watch her on her transformative journey. And I'm so excited that she felt comfortable enough to have this conversation recorded and that she is letting me do whatever I'd like with the audio that we have. So I want to dive in to that. And yeah, this is going to be a bit of a different episode. It's not necessarily an interview. It's just as if you are in my childhood home in my living room with my mom and I, and we're just having this deep conversation. Going off of that too, something that we touched on, and we didn't touch on this in the recording, we're both at a point in our lives where what we crave is deep, meaningful, intentional conversations. And of course, there's a time and a space for very surface level chit chat, but that is not what our souls crave. So you're going to see that in these conversations. We really go deep, and I'm so excited for you to be a witness to this. And if this kind of episode is something that you enjoy, I would love to do more of them, whether it's with more family members, friends, people that are close to me in my life where we can just have these very vulnerable moments together. So definitely reach out to me on social media. Let me know. And whatever you guys like, I'll keep coming. But let's dive into the chat with my mama. Okay, we're doing it. Why do I feel like I'm going to cry already? I am so excited to have my mom on the podcast. Even if we don't share this audio, which I think we will end up doing it because I think you're going to feel really good, mom, after you just get comfy with the mic. You're going to be a natural and I know it. We're comfy, we're cozy, we're drinking Hios. I don't know if you've ever had them before. They are like an adaptogenic drink. They're alcohol-free. And they are really tasty. Strawberry guava. They have ashwagandha, L-theanine, lion's mane. So we are relaxed. We are ready to rock and roll. And mom, I'm just going to pass the mic off to you. And I'm going to let you kick it off with whatever you feel is on your heart and whatever you want to share first. Wherever you want to dive in, I'm going to follow your lead.
Well, I think it's important to start with how proud I am of you, that you have pushed yourself through the last 2 years with determination to do something that you truly love. And I think that's so commendable and so brave. And I'm so proud that you're doing it now at 26 and discovering these things about yourself. I'm also proud that you're willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to speak your story, speak your truth so that other people can understand that journeys aren't easy, especially the good ones. You really have to let yourself break and you really have to peel back every single layer to get to the root of everything. And I personally didn't start doing that until I was 47. So I'm 49 now. I'm in it. I'm doing it. I'm right there with you. It's just different stages of life. And I love that we're able to come together and share some of these commonalities, but have completely different stories. So I think that's what makes this so special to me, is that I can guide you a little bit so that you can get to your goals and make your dreams happen faster than I'm able to, or that I've done. Because for me, for now, I am making my dreams come true. I am living the life I've always wanted to live, but it took me so long to get here. And it's taken me so much work personally in the last 2.5 years, mentally, physically, spiritually, but it's so worth it. And I'm so excited for what our future holds.
Hey, wait, Mom, that was so good. What happened to being nervous? What happened to you thinking you wouldn't do good on the mic? I'm so happy that you're here to just reiterate that. I'm going to say that so many times in this episode because my heart is truly so full right now, but I just resonate with everything you said. It is truly so incredible to be on our own individual journeys, but like you mentioned, to be able to come together and inspire each other is an experience unlike anything else I've ever had before, and I'm so grateful for it. If you had to give advice to somebody starting out on their wellness journey, their healing journey, their self-development journey, whatever they want to label their transformative journey as, what would you say to them? How would you guide them?
I don't know how to say this without it sounding somewhat wrong, but I think you have to break. I literally think you have to just be so true and so real with yourself and say, is this who I want to be? And then start there. Because for so many years, I was living a life that I thought I was supposed to live, that everyone expected me to live, that I thought I wanted to live. And it wasn't until 2.5 years ago that I had my breaking point, that I'd had enough, that I wasn't truly happy with the person that I was and the choices that I was making. I just was so lost and have been lost, literally had been lost probably most of my life by just not dealing with, and I hate to use the word a lot because everyone throws the word trauma around, but realistically it is trauma. And it's just things that I would bury and I didn't want to work through and I didn't want to think about. And so I would bury it and then something else would happen and I would bury that and I would bury that. And then I hit a breaking point and I had to learn how to sit with those things and literally sit with those feelings, work through those feelings, work through those events, those experiences in order to move past them. The only way you're going to ever start on this journey is to actually be real with yourself.
I think everything you said is so spot on. And I know a lot of that is advice you've given to me and Sammy. Sammy is my younger sister. She is 23, turning 24 in like 2 weeks, August 14th. So my sister and I are pretty close in age and, you know, we have very different seasons of life taking place right now. But at the same time, I think it really just comes down to having the strength to be self-aware. And let me tell you, that is a hard journey for me. When I started out on my personal wellness journey, my healing journey, I really don't know what to label it because it's just so many different journeys taking place at once. I had to sit with myself, much like you did, sit with feelings that I had suppressed for so many years and just take a look at where I am today. Almost had to do an audit of my life and the people in my life, the circumstances in my life, how I was leading my life. And it was a challenging experience because for the first time in a long time, I had felt like my eyes were so wide open and I was seeing everything so clearly. I want to hear more about your life leading up to your journey that started about 2.5 years ago and just how things evolved.
I think it starts, you know, as early as my own parents divorcing and just back and forth, visitation, things like that, kind of being caught in the middle of them. And then you go through your teenage years and you want to fit in and you want to do everything right. And I had a fantastic high school experience, you know, going through it. I don't think I appreciated it as much as I should have, but high school was fantastic. My friends were fantastic. To this day, love them. And my memories are so strong and so precious to me. I feel like when I talk to them, I'm still 15, 16, 17 years old. Then it moved on into having children and a failed marriage. It wasn't until 2009 that I met my husband of today. That's when my whole world actually started to change, I think, in 2009, was the relationship with him. and building that and building our family together and blending our families. But even in there, the one big thing that hasn't left me since I was 15 was alcohol. What I thought was my friend was truly my biggest enemy. And it wasn't until 2.5 years ago, something took place that transformed my whole life. And I chose to break up with alcohol. It wasn't a difficult decision. And it was actually, probably looking back, one of the easiest things I'd ever done. I just knew that I had to sit with so many things that I didn't want to think about because I didn't have that crutch anymore. And I didn't have that substance to just numb me. And I wasn't like a 7 day a week drinker. But when I drank, it wasn't just about having some drinks and having fun. It was typically because I was trying to not think about something. And so what was so great about the alcohol is because it does that, right? That's what it does. It puts you in this great place until it doesn't. And I think when I chose to stop drinking, many people that I spent time with didn't understand why I was doing that. Oh, you didn't have a problem. You were fine. But I did, because behind closed doors at the end of the night when I came home and that alcohol started to wear off, the feelings started to surface and I was alone and it was heavy and it was dark and it was sad. And then I spent days after drinking with debilitating anxiety and guilt and self-hate. And then physically I felt terrible as well. So I leaned into a lot of very vulnerable women podcasts. Those were my favorite people, the people who could just tell their stories and you would listen to them and I would laugh out loud and I could resonate with the things they were saying and it didn't make me feel alone. And I listened to how they pushed through situations and the whys. You have to have a why. You have to know why you want to do this and the goal that you want to get to. And that's why when I heard your first podcast, although many of the things you were saying were scientifically accurate and by the book accurate, I just know your story, or at least what I saw of your story. And to me, I just need you to share that with the world, because who you are today through some of those times is so inspiring. It's just so incredibly inspiring, the things that you've experienced and how you've pulled out of it to be the person you are today. And that's what people need to hear, because that's the only way people are going to connect with you. And that's why I'm okay telling my story and, you know, that I'm not proud of the person that I was for so many years of my life. Yes, I was a mom and I've always had a job and I've always taken care of things, but I didn't love who I was until I got rid of alcohol. And I feel so content in my own skin. And it was that one thing that I had to remove from my life. And so for you and for all of my children to feel content in your own skin and your own life choices is the only thing I want in this world. To me, that's the greatest success, the greatest victory I could ever have, is for my children to just live the lives you were supposed to live and that you want to live, and that you don't let things like this hold you back.
I have to say, I think one of the wildest parts of growing up, especially when it comes to your parents, is learning to see them as human beings. Growing up, I looked at you and Dad as these superhumans who were always supposed to do the right thing. They knew the answer to everything. And, you know, you're always supposed to make me feel safe and sound and seen and heard and loved, supported, validated, all of those things. But the older I get and the more vulnerable we become with each other, the more I'm able to just see you as a human being. And it's such a beautiful and profound experience. I admire you so much for starting on this journey and choosing to do the hard things that would allow you to come home to yourself, to a mind and a body that you feel happy in. It's so incredible to see you be so connected to yourself and to be able to reflect back on these experiences. I loved how you touched on needing to have a why. I think that is something that is so important no matter what your journey is in life, knowing why you're starting and where you want to get to. It's really hard to walk into something with intention if you have a blindfold on and you don't know where you're going. Now, obviously, you talked about being a mom alongside all of these other life experiences. Would you want to dive into what it's like being a mom of three, You obviously don't have to share on here that I'm your favorite, even though I'm just kidding. Guys, I am definitely not her favorite. Mom, I love you so much, but I truly know I'm not. It's definitely Luke. I'll let her just take it from here. No hard feelings, though. I did put my name in her phone as Morgan, my fave child. So I'm slowly working my way there, but just like these journeys, it's going to take time. All right, Mom.
So for those who don't know, Morgan is the oldest, Samantha is the middle, and Lucas is the baby and the only boy. When I need to be de-escalated or it has something to do with my physical or mental health, I call Morgan. When I need to be hyped up or feel really good about myself physically, Morgan does that for me too, but Samantha has this vibe and this edge, and she is a tough cookie. Lucas is my non-drama, completely logical go-to. Plus, he's my baby boy, and he just loves his mom. Sometimes it feels like more than you girls do, but I know that's impossible and not true. So I don't think it's fair to say you ever have a favorite child, but you definitely have favorites to go to, depending on what you're going through. So I am super lucky to have these three kids. But Morgan was my first. I was 22, quite young, just starting out. And I was completely fascinated and obsessed with her. I didn't let her out of my sight or leave her with anyone for an overnight except to go to a Broadway show when she was 8 weeks old. And I don't even think I enjoyed the show because I was so nervous about her and my boobs hurt because I was nursing. And physically, mentally, it was a waste of a Broadway show, and that's so unfortunate. But – and then I never left you again until you were three. And I also never put her down. So I carried her in a baby Bjorn front pack, and then when she was too big for that, I moved her to the backpack, and I carried her all the time. When I was cleaning, when I was vacuuming, when I was doing dishes, when I was mowing the lawn, going for a walk. We spent the first – pretty much 3 years of your life inseparable. We went everywhere together. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Being a mom is literally my favorite job in the whole wide world, aside from being a wife, because I have an awesome husband who is literally my best friend. And I'm so blessed to have the family I have now.
Okay, hearing your explanation about not being able to pick a favorite per se makes so much sense to me. I wish you had explained that sooner. No, I'm just kidding. But I get what you're saying. And I also want to thank you for giving me two of my best friends in the entire world. And one thing I admire about your parenting style is that you've always wanted nothing but for us to be so tight-knit and close. And we are. Like, to this day, we do three-way FaceTime calls. We do a FaceTime call with you if you want to use your iPhone. My mom has two phones. She has an Android and an iPhone. So if she's feeling playful and wants to jump on the iPhone, we'll all do a FaceTime together. But I literally talk to my sister over FaceTime every single day, whether it's 10 minutes or 2 hours. And I always text her like Snapchat with my brother. He works a crazy busy schedule, so he's not as available to us, but we still talk every day. And I know that's not the case for a lot of siblings, so I'm just really thankful that we have that bond with each other because it's helped me through so many different seasons of my life and different things that I'm personally navigating. And we have that bond because of you. So thank you, Mom. Also, hearing you talk about the first 3 years of my life and how inseparable we were, that is truly so cute. And I'm not ready to have kids anytime soon, but just hearing stories like that make me so excited for motherhood one day. And I love that we had that relationship. And I truly think that was the root or the catalyst for the strong bond that we have today, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for our family, for you bringing Dave into our life. For you guys who don't know, Dave is my stepdad, and he's truly incredible. I'm just so grateful for our family and everything that we have today, despite all of the hurdles and just the life happenings that took place in order to get where we are today. I think at the end of the day, if you can say you have your family, then you have something so beautiful to be grateful for. Now, something that I kind of want for you to dive into is how you started on your transformative journey. That's genuinely something that I have so much interest in today, is just learning how people got to be where they are in their present day, especially when it comes to these beautiful healing journeys. How do you get started? How did you personally get started?
I think isolation is how I started. I never realized how introverted I was. I am truly an introvert. At heart, I am an introvert. Alcohol made me extroverted. Maybe the isolation was a little too much, so I don't know if I would advise anybody to go into the cocoon that I went into for like the first 3 to 6 months, because then to come out was a little bit challenging and scary. But I did it, and I can go to any social event now and have a great time and not need alcohol and socialize. And I love that I feel present and in the moment. And I remember every conversation and everything I say. I feel confident when I say it. I just feel happy. You know, big things are happening in our lives and our family that I can celebrate, like, in my core, true, genuine happiness. But I can also feel sad too and feel true, genuine sadness. And I can sit there and I can sit with those feelings. And I know I've told you this before. It's okay. Just don't unpack your stuff and move in there. You can sit there, you can visit those unhappy moments, and you've got to let yourself feel them. That is the only way you're going to heal. I spent a lot of time living in other people's drama. And I think it was easy to do that because I didn't have to think about my own, but I needed to think about my own. I needed to think about my own problems. I needed to think about my own issues, my own relationships, in order to get better. And I think once you do that, like, everything just opens up. What I want to say to wrap up the whole drinking thing, because I think it is a huge piece of my life, and I don't judge anyone that continues to drink. And if somebody were to come to me and tell me they wanted to stop, I will give them all the support that I possibly can to lead them in that direction. But I have to say that I'm so thankful that I've discovered this on this chapter of my children's lives as they're in their young adult years, that I can truly be there and available for them. I always took care of you. All of your needs were met. I was always mom. I was always there for stuff. But I wish I was this mom like 20 years ago, you know? And I'm sorry to you and your siblings for taking so long to figure this out. But I am so glad I can be here for you guys as you navigate adulthood and start building your own lives. I love that I can take everything in that you guys are going through, and that I can support you, and I can help you navigate difficult situations and just positive, wonderful things. We can plan these things together, because this is truly like going to be the most amazing chapter of my life. I will be 50 in less than 5 months, but who's counting? Actually, it might be more like 4. I'm going to start counting now. So that's a big thing for me too, but I'm so excited to go into 50 and a whole new decade of just this life that I have started to create for myself with my amazing children and my amazing daughter, who is just so empowering.
Going off of everything you just shared, I know I've said it probably a couple times now in this recording, but I am genuinely just so proud of you, and I am so embracive of every season of your journey. And I truly don't think I would be where I'm at today if I didn't have the experiences that I had growing up. So I wouldn't change a thing. And I'm just appreciative of where we all are today. And everybody's seasons of bloom are so beautiful. I love everything about the woman you show up as today. You are truly such an inspiration to me. And I'm just so blessed to have you as my mom. And I cannot wait for you to step into your 50s. I think your 50s are going to be amazing, and you're just going to continue to thrive. And you are such an empowering force. So never stop it. keep it going. I want to end off this episode by asking you for one piece of advice. If you could go back in time and tell your younger self one thing, what would you tell her? And it doesn't even have to be advice. It could just be like words of wisdom, words of affirmation.
I don't think there's any younger self that would have done this. And I do think this comes with age. I don't even know at what age you realize that this is such a priority or that you need to do this. But something that I do now that is literally invaluable, like it has changed my entire life, is I just establish boundaries. If it doesn't feel right to me and it doesn't feel good to me, I just don't do it. And I don't go with the flow and I don't follow the crowd, and I just protect my peace. And I think that takes so much strength to literally say, someone, I'm sorry, I'm just not going to be able to make it. And to honestly say, because I'm not feeling up to it, and not come up with a million different excuses for why you don't want to do something. So I think, like, even as a child or a teenager, if you can start to just truly identify what makes you happy and then feel strong in that and feel proud of that and to be true to that. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to be a child with all of the different social media outlets that are out there now and those expectations, and for your entire self-worth to be identified by how many likes you get on a photo. That has to be so incredibly stressful. And that was my final step in protecting my peace, incidentally, not to segue into something bigger, but leaving Facebook and shutting down social media was one of the final steps in my journey. And that's something I did 3 months ago. I mean, I still have lots of steps in my journey, but those were the big things. And letting go of social media has been transformational. I have no idea what's going on in anybody's life other than the people that I choose to have conversations with, talk to, and invest myself in. And that's what my brain has room for. So I love that my brain isn't full of foggy bullshit anymore. It's literally full of, like, things I want in there. And it's just such a freeing feeling. If that's something that you can learn how to do early in life, your future is going to be so outrageously amazing, because it's just such a freeing feeling to be true to yourself. And if you don't want to go to a party, or you don't want to go out to dinner, or you don't want to go sit at coffee, then you simply say, thank you for the invite, but no thank you. You don't need to come up with a million and one excuses, because just being honest at the end of the day will make you feel like a better person too. Because you didn't tell a lie and you didn't make up a story. You were just truly like, no, thank you. I'm just really not feeling it. Or I appreciate the invite, but it's just not something I'm into doing anymore. And that is the advice that I would love to instill in young people today. I would love to just tell them, just be true to how you feel and don't feel peer pressured to go with the flow. Because I think peer pressure goes way beyond the teenage years. It goes well into your 20s, 30s, 40s, and even beyond. So if you can start to learn how to do that at an early age, that's been a big one for me.
Ooh, this is good. This is some really good advice. I resonate so much with what you're saying, and I personally am on a journey of being more forward with setting boundaries, no matter the discomfort I feel. I think, as a past version of myself, being such a people pleaser, boundaries can feel really uncomfortable sometimes, especially when you're setting boundaries with people you love, whether that be friends or family. In the name of being really vulnerable, I recently had an experience where I made plans with a friend that isn't very prevalent in this season of my life. And we had made these plans months ago, and the plans started stumbling upon me, and I started feeling a lot of discomfort. I didn't want to go to this event, and I still have a lot of love for this person. Don't get me wrong, but I just felt discomfort, angst, anxiety within my body when it came to thinking about this event that we were supposed to attend together. And I was just so honest with this person, and I tried to lead with love, be very eloquent with it. And I'm going to be honest, it was not well received, which made me feel terrible. I felt so, so bad. I cried. I questioned whether or not I should have set that boundary. But after the event had passed and I didn't attend, I felt so good and I was really proud of myself. Despite how uncomfortable that entire situation was for me to, you know, put my feelings out into the ether and to speak my truth, it was what I needed to do for myself and it ended up being the best decision for me. And here's the thing too about setting boundaries in friendships. Friendships are going to ebb and flow throughout the entirety of our life. And if somebody is meant to be in your life long term, they will respect the boundaries that you put into place. And if they feel some sort of discomfort in your boundary, maybe they would be comfortable enough to bring it up to you and say, hey, listen, I totally respect where you're coming from, but could you just share more with me? Because I love you and I want to understand you. So there's always room for a conversation too. And with that said, you can kind of just gauge the level of commitment in that friendship. But I definitely resonate with everything you said, Mom. And I think setting boundaries is huge. And you feel so good in your body when you speak your truth and you really just lead from a place of, yeah, I'm protecting my peace and I'm doing what I need to do for me. But as long as you're doing it with love and respect, I think, you know, there's no better way to move forward with things. And the social media piece, preach. Seriously, preach. My job now is very heavy on the social media front. And I actually really enjoy social media. I don't feel that I have a bad relationship with scrolling in this present day. In the past, I did have a pretty gnarly relationship with social media. Some things would make me really anxious. I would feel envious about different things. And there used to be posts and accounts that would make me feel really icky in my body. So something that I did was unfollow any Instagram accounts that I didn't feel aligned with. And now I just have positivity on my feed. I feel very inspired every time I go onto social media, but I do also put up boundaries and I'm not mindlessly scrolling. So that's been really helpful too. I also am a really big believer in social media breaks. So for example, this weekend, I am logged out of social media. I'm home with my family. I want to be present. I don't want to be scrolling. So I am really mindful about taking breaks as well. And it doesn't have to be a full week, a full weekend, whatever feels right to you. But I definitely urge you to here and there take some time off to just enjoy the present moment. And you're really not going to miss anything very important, I promise you. But I think you really have to be self-aware about your relationship with social media and whether or not it's serving you. And much like my mom said, she identified that social media wasn't serving her. So she had to do what was best for her and she left. And now she's thriving and very much so in the present moment. And that is everything she needed to feel more connected to herself and more connected to her present life and the people in it. So I think that's amazing and incredible and inspiring. And I love that you shared that, Mom. Anyway, to wrap this up, I want to hear your final thoughts about just recording, being on the mic, speaking from the heart. How are you feeling in your body right now?
I just really love this microphone. I didn't expect to like this so much. And I don't want my own podcast, but I do want a microphone. And I mostly just want to walk around and I want to talk to Dave through the microphone. I just want to hold it. I want to talk to the dog through the microphone. I don't even know why I didn't take a job broadcasting.
Honestly, I don't know why you didn't take a job in broadcasting either. I think you would have thrived, but you're also thriving in your job today. So no regrets. I need to have you back on soon because I feel like there's so much more that we could dive into and you're just such a light. I think people are really going to love you.
Thanks, babe. And I love you and I'm so proud of you. And this is big. You're going to do big things. And I can't wait to see how many people you help and inspire and motivate. And I just can't wait to hear more stories about your growth and how you're helping others grow too.
This has truly been so special. I am so grateful you came on the mic today and it has been so fun. Episodes like this are the reason why I started the podcast. I wanted a space where I could be raw and real and vulnerable. And sitting down with you today has just given me the space and the grace to do exactly that. I want people to come to this podcast and feel seen and heard, loved, validated. I just want them to be able to laugh and to connect and be comfortable, almost like a comfort podcast where you can just come as you are, you learn, you grow, and feel safe and supported. To those listening, I am so happy you're here, and I am so grateful that you took the time out of your day to spend some time with us. And I cannot wait for next week. So I hope you have had a beautiful week so far. I hope you have an incredible weekend, and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for listening. A new episode of Recipe for Radiance will drop every Thursday. Be sure to subscribe and rate the podcast. I want to hear from you, so follow at Recipe for Radiance Podcast on Instagram and send in all of the topics and questions you'd like to hear about. I'm so grateful to have you as a part of this amazing journey. I'll see you next week.